Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Pei Beis, Baba Basra 82a, pagination is 163. We're making reference to the Mishnah on the previous daf, which said that if a person owns two trees in the field of his friend, so all he owns is the trees, he's not entitled to any land, but he's allowed that these trees should live as long as they do, and he's allowed to harvest them. What about the branches that emerge from this tree as it grows? Said the Mishnah, about the sixth line down, V'ha'ola min ha'geza shalo. If it's coming from the trunk, then it belongs to the owner of the tree. U'min ha'sharoshim shel ba'al ha'karka. But if it comes from the roots, then it belongs to the owner of the land. And the Mishnah continued that if three trees were sold, then the owner of the trees would actually get land together with the transaction, which obviously leaves us in an interesting position that two trees, which were two trees at the time that they were sold, if they ever emerge and kind of become three trees, then it leaves us open to having the buyer claim that he bought three trees and at that time he was buying land. Whereas that's not really what happened. He bought two trees, and just because they sent out shoots and became three doesn't suddenly entitle him to land. That's not what he bought. He bought two trees. So whether we let him keep the shoots or not keep the shoots, but he's not entitled to land. So the Gemara on our daf, six lines down, Hechi dami min hageza vechi dami min asharoshim. What does it mean from the trunk and it belongs to the owner of the tree? And what does it mean from the roots and it belongs to the owner of the ground? Amar Rabbi Yechanan says, Kol sharoa pnei chama, if it sees sunlight, zeo min hageza, that's considered trunk. And if it doesn't see sunlight, that's called root. Asks the Gemara, why aren't we concerned? Because right now our impression is that if it belongs to the owner of the tree, which is the halacha when it comes out of the trunk, something that sees daylight, our impression is that he's allowed to leave it there. He's allowed to let it grow like that, even though it's a low branch. V'leichosh, why aren't we concerned? D'mamaska aras sirton. Maybe sediment will come as a result of a wave. There'll be sediment. And that branch will end up emerging, covered over from dirt, looking like a tree. V'amale, and the buyer of the two trees is going to claim years from now, Talosazav Nisli, you really sold me three trees. Look, the three trees here. The Isli Ara, and I'm entitled to land together with it, and there's a massive difference here. As Rashbam explains, why would the Rabbanon allow him to leave those low branches just because they're coming from the trunk? He's going to leave them there. The sediment can come, cover over the bottom few inches of the tree, and now it looks like he bought three trees. Why would they leave themselves open to such a misrepresentation possibility? Elam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman explained, Yakutz, it's his to cut. It belongs to the owner of the tree, but he has to cut it. He can keep it for firewood, he has to cut it. He indeed has to cut this because we're concerned of sirton, that things will change in the topography and the result will be it's going to look like three trees, and we have to protect the seller from the buyer claiming that he bought three trees, and therefore such a branch is an accident, a misrepresentation waiting to happen, and it has to be removed. This opens up a bit of a discussion to how diligent is a person supposed to or allowed to be to protect himself. In a certain way, one can invoke the statement, the famous quote, Midas Sodom. Why are you acting like Sodom? If it doesn't bother you, why are you forcing me to cut it off? And it doesn't bother you. Right now, there's nothing here that bothers you. Yet, the owner of the field claims this could develop to something very damaging to me. And therefore, I want to protect myself from that eventuality. And I want you to cut it now, just in case. We have the concept that there are limitations to Midas Sodom principle. Tosfos in Baba Kama Chaf Amud Beis says that even though there is a concept of Midas Sodom, if a person already lived in your house and now you show up and you want to charge him retroactive rent for a house that you had no intention of renting, there's a debate whether you could charge for that. But Tosfos says, independent of that discussion, whether you could charge retroactively or not, you can certainly see him to the door and have him leave. Even if you have no intention to use the house for yourself, you're not obligated from the rules of Midas Sodom to allow somebody to live in your house rent-free. Moving forward, you're allowed to ask him to leave. And we have here even to protect yourself. Similarly, there's a concept of shtar amona, a document of trust, where the document was written up as if there's an IOU here, but the money was not yet lent. Shtar amona is actually entrusted to the person who's allowed to collect the money if the transaction indeed happened. And we're trusting him that he won't collect unless the transaction happened. Chazal said you can't do that. You can't leave a document around which is ready to be collected if the money is not indeed owed, because it's leaving ourselves open to a fallout. And that's what's happening over here, that the owner of the field is allowed to demand that the branch be cut lest Sirton, the sediment, come and give the impression that he bought 3 trees and is therefore entitled to land. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.